Glory be to God. We are continuing our series on our preeminent identity. Our preeminent identity. Our supreme identity. Not our only identity per se, but our supreme preeminent identity. What we are to be known as first and foremost. By way of review, the word supreme means ultimate. It means greatest. It means number one, before all else, superior. So our supreme identity, it's been an identity that we're known by, that we refer to ourselves by, that is ultimate, it's the greatest, it's the number one, before all else, and a superior identity. Now, most folks tend to look at themselves and identify themselves by their color, ethnicity, culture, their social and economic standing, their looks, and all of those natural things. Now, we are those things. Black, red, brown, yellow, black, and white. We're all those colors. There are the poor and the rich. There are the black and the white. And there's the male and female and so forth. But in Christ Jesus, what is our supreme, preeminent, number one identity? And that's what we need to retool our thinking. It's not about our looks, not about our age, our ethnicity, our culture, any of those things. And so we went over some things. This is our review that we can identify some cases, some labels from the Word of God in case we don't know what we should call ourselves. I mean, most folks call themselves Christians. It's a very good word. We know, again, review, that word was used derisively in, yes, a little warm in here, so just bear with me. Okay, all right. Sorry, we're working on getting the system stabilized there. Thanks for your patience. So we call ourselves Christians, followers of Christ, imitators of Christ. But one of the ways that we refer to first and foremost in Scripture, anybody remember? What's the number one? Slaves. King James and some of the others have servants because of the connotation that word brings about. And so they wimped out, if I may say, and chose to use the word servant. But the word doulos means slave. Slave is used 181 times, I think, in the New Testament, and over 801 times in the Old Testament. We are slaves first and foremost on the Most High God. Now, telling black folk that's a tough thing. But I didn't choose the word, amen? Man, so I got to have the guts and stand there and say, hey, that's who we are first and foremost. But remember that slavery is not race-based. It's not chattel slavery. The master is Jesus. And if you really want to get your mind all scrambled and blown away, this master died for the slaves.
Amen.
Shed his blood for the slaves. And in eternity, when we sit down at his table, the master's going to serve us. That's crazy. But that's the master we serve. So try to tell black folk, don't get all bent out of shape. This ain't Master Reynolds beating Kunta into his thing to his name was Toby. It's not that. This is Jesus, the Most High God, serving his slaves by giving his blood. He purchased us with his blood. We are slaves first and foremost. And I know folks don't have the courage to tell folks they're slaves of the Most High God, even though that's who we are. Amen. We used some of the scriptures that talked about that. We looked in Joshua 1. And verse 1, now it came to pass about the death of Moses, the slave of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. Moses, slave, it's amazing how slave was used to describe Moses 1, 2, 3, 4 times, 5 times in like 3 verses. We can't be so puffed up in pride and thinking that we're so such a much. The scripture refers to us as sheep, the most helpless, dumbest animal, basically in the animal kingdom. We refer to as sheep. We refer to as slaves. But in Christ Jesus, those are powerful terms, meaning we are weak and he is strong. Apostle Paul, those labels were chosen by the Lord God. It wasn't Moses who wrote the first five books and all the other writers that chose. It was the Lord's right moving on them to use that phrasing. And the more we accept that, we're talking about the prayer to pray on this past Wednesday, was to pray that you are continually conscious of your own feebleness, which is weaknesses, shortcomings, and limitations. Pray to be continually conscious of my own feebleness, weaknesses, shortcomings, and limitations. And to distrust my own power, might, strength, and abilities. And help me to always, always look to you for aid, help, support, and strength.
Amen.
That's what we need to do.
Amen.
That's why we need to embrace sheep talk and slave talk. First Corinthians 6, I think it's 18:19, says we're not our own. We were bought with a price. I don't care what color you are. If you are born again, if you are saved, you belong not to yourself, but to him.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He owns you. He owns me. He owns us. He said you're not your own. Just said that because you were bought with a price. That's slave talk. So therefore glorify God in your body, which just belongs to him. So we said back then that if you can't bring the courage to call yourself a slave, then you can call yourself a Christian. A Christian simply means one who follows the Lord Jesus Christ. Not simply, but and the reason I kind of went to over the word Christian is because that word is starting to be really mangled in the worldview of things. You know, when you have Lady Gaga, who's a self-professed bisexual, proclaiming in her concert, which means there are thousands in front of her, I'm a Christian. And when you have the homosexual South Bend mayor saying, I'm a Christian, then that's dangerous talk to folks who don't really know what a Christian is. And so since that is becoming so mangled and everybody and almost anybody is calling themselves a Christian because there's no way to check it, because that's a spiritual term, then it bears that we need to go ahead to remind everyone what this word means. It does mean a follower of Christ. It is an adherent of Jesus. It's our review, by the way, of Jesus Christ. It means to belong to the party of Christ. Remember, not Democrat, not Republican, not independent, but the party of Christ. I side with Christ. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm an adherent of Christ. Why? Well, the reason it's supposed to be is because your behavior, your activity, your living, and your speech is supposed to match Jesus. You are a miniature version of Jesus. And so, therefore, we must understand that when we use that term, when we use it, we're not to use it loosely.
Amen.
Amen. We also talked about that we were also born of God. And since we were born of God, we are sons and daughters of God. We are children of God. All of those are terms. We are believers. And we are believers.
Yeah.
You can use any of those terms. And by the way, whether you call yourself a slave of the Most High God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you call yourself a follower, an imitator, a son of God, a daughter of God, a believer, Any one of those are who you are first and foremost.
Amen.
You're first and foremost. You are first and foremost any of those before you are black, brown, yellow, white, blue, and any other color.
Amen.
And I remember one black pastor when he was telling a group of young black men that he was first a Christian and a child of God, first and foremost, they got mad at him. Now, that's not going to go over well, probably in no folks' colors. Because we are so identified with our ethnicity and our culture. But as Christians, we got to retool our thinking. We need to renovate our mind, renew our mind. Yeah, God made all the colors, all ethnicities, all the cultures. They're there. They do exist. And everything God does is good and very good. We're not denying that. But as a Christian, we want to retool that thinking. This is who we are first and foremost.
Amen.
And last week, we got into some more controversials. We then went to the negatives of not understanding who you are first and foremost. The negatives. And as we talked about that if you think of your ethnicity, your culture, your color, your age, and any other physical characteristic first and foremost, then what bothers you becomes paramount to you. We don't tend to hate what God hates and love what God loves. We tend to love what we love and hate what we hate, almost irregardless of whether or not God loves or hates it. Because we become our focus of our life. We become self-centered, self-focused.
Yeah.
When things bother us, that's all we see. And not realizing, wait a minute, how does this fit into this grand scheme of things as a child of God? How does this affect my master, my owner, my father, first and foremost? And so what we tend to do, we tend to ignore, because we're so focused on things that matter to us so much so that we tend to ignore, either we ignore it completely or we'll bypass it in our thoughts or give very little attention to those things that God hates. We talked about abortion last Sunday. The Bible is very clear on that, about the womb talk. With John the Baptist leaping in the womb, or telling Jeremiah and the other prophets that before you were born, I called you to be a prophet. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. Abortion is murder, plain and simple. 2016, 56 million worldwide slaughtered in the womb, which used to be the safest place in the world, but no longer. Not only do so-called Christians not hate, loathe, despise that as God does, there are Christians so-called who are even in agreement with it. That's why one of the greatest prayers that I can pray over you, as I said before, is, Father God, help us to hate what you hate and love what you love. Because we have the mind of Christ, and we've been given we've been made partakers of his divine nature.
Amen.
So therefore, we have that ability to do that. And no matter what the secular humanistic worldview is trying to force upon us concerning things such as same-sex marriage, homosexuality, lesbianism, gender identification. That is the craziest thing, that he made them male and female, Genesis 1:26. And now the world is saying that is just a biological construct. It's male and female to be carried out like this is now a social construct, and you can choose whatever you want to be, boy or girl. And I work in the school, as I told you, and therefore boys can go to the girls' bathroom if they so desire, if they identify as a female, and girls can go to the boys' bathroom. Imagine having your daughter in that situation. We're not hating what God hates like we should. I'm talking about God's people, not talking about the sinner. But when the so-called Christian, followers of God, imitators of Christ, born again, sons and daughters of the Most High God, when we kowtow to that pressure, how much pain it must bring our Master, our Father. We also went over the upcoming 2020 elections. You don't vote based on politics. Who's going to get us more taxes? And I want somebody with a better foreign relations policy. And I want somebody who's going to fix our roads and our streets. The focus needs to be on morality. If somebody is, I don't care what party they belong to, but if they are for abortion, the absolute slaughter of innocents, then you need to rethink that very clearly.
Amen.
And if somebody is for the destruction of family, which is what homosexuality, which is what bisexualism, transgenderism is doing, absolutely destroying the family, if somebody is for that, then you need to think twice about that, because God is not for that. I don't care what color they are, what gender, or what party they belong to.
Amen.
It's not about politics. Forget some roads getting fixed. I don't care. It's going to burn up anyway. Peter says all that's going to burn up it with fervent heat. Amen. Don't be fooled and blinded by all of the things that are trying to get you off course.
Amen.
Keep your eyes on the word of God. Hebrews 13, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
He is to be the one that's to govern how we proceed in the election.
Amen.
It must be Bible based. Period. Always. Don't let the smooth taste fool you. It's about morality. It's going to, for a Christian, it's to be always about morality.
Amen.
That's why we, and the reason, if you don't identify yourself first as a Christian, then you'll vote based on things that you think are going to benefit you. Let's let that marinate. That's the danger. You're like, forget God. This is going to benefit me. Forget God. Forget His word. Forget everything I know. Forget who I am, first and foremost. Forget all of that. I want somebody that's going to benefit me, even if it's at the expense of the glory of God. That's the danger of thinking about your ethnicity, your culture, your color, your socioeconomic standing first. That's the danger.
Amen.
You're like, forget God. I want to be satisfied. I. Me. But as the Lord God is retooling our thinking, as He's renovating our mind, and we're slowly, because it's a process, because all your life you thought about your natural attributes first and foremost. As He's transitioning us in the thinking about and the looking at ourselves first and foremost as He views us, then you'll see your thoughts change. You'll see your think, which is going to change the way you speak and to change the way you act. But it's got to start with a mind renovation. Got to start there. And you're not going to be the most popular person in the conversation when you come forth and tell them, first and foremost, that I am a child of God. You're not going to be the most popular person. So what? Sacrifice your comfort for God's glory.
Amen.
Say it again. Sacrifice your comfort for God's glory. And do that every single time. Amen. Well, man, if I say this, if I speak this, if I do this, man, I'm going to be ridiculed, ostracized, laughed at, talked about. Yeah, but if I don't do it, he's going to be ridiculed, ostracized, laughed at, and talked about.
Amen.
The word of God is going to be blasphemed, as it talks about in I think it's Titus and Thessalonians, where it's talking about how women ought to live, how men ought to live, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Take our time. Let this marinate. Take our time. Because what the world has done through constant hearing it and hearing it, haranguing and hearing and hearing and hearing, is caused us to kind of just back up off and even accept or think it's no big deal things that are absolute, things that are happening that God absolutely loathes and hates. That disconnect, that's got to stop. If God is loathing and hating something that I'm either agreeing with or really over, oh, it ain't no big deal, something wrong with that.
Amen.
That's why we landed on this again. Something is wrong with that. If I'm a true child of God,
amen,
and I know my Father hates this thing, he loathes it and has made it crystal clear in Scripture.
Yes.
And I'm up here, no big deal, or agreeing with it. That's a major problem.
Hey.
It's not about politics. It's not about politics. There's nothing in here that's going to tell me about somebody's foreign policy. Nothing in here about fixing Wayne County roads. Nothing in here about fixing up Detroit public schools. That'd be great. Get rid of all the blight and broken houses in the city of Detroit. Great. But you'll vote for that. And at the same time, that same politician is voting for the slaughter of innocents. The slaughter of innocents. I mean, if an abortion is not carried out successfully and the baby is born alive in spite of the abortion, you have 46 from one party. You can figure it out. There's 49 Democrats, 51 Republicans in the Senate, 46 out of the 49 Democrats all voted to don't save the baby. They voted against just using regular doctor efforts. Just as if any baby that was born in distress, the doctors will use all sort of measures to save the baby's life. But when it comes to an abortion survivor, then you are not to use regular measures. That's insanity. You save every baby, but just because this one was a product, because we tried to kill this one and was born, we're going to vote against even saving that baby. It's called the Born Alive Survivor Abortion Survivor Protection Act. Born Alive Abortion Survivor Protection Act. That ain't got nothing to do with politics. That's just simple. You ought to save the life. This baby's born in the image and likeness of God. Image and likeness of God. He's an image bearer in the Latin Imago Deo. Save the baby. Save the baby. That's simple. Both to save him. We're not even stepping on your precious, you know, abortion belief. We say if you don't successfully kill the baby and they live anyway, save the baby. And they voted against that. 46 Republicans voted, Democrats voted against that. All 46. There were three Democrats that had the nerve to not be bullied by their compatriots. They walked across the aisle and joined all 51 Republicans and said, no, we ain't doing this. We're not doing this. We go, yes, save the baby. But the 51 Republicans, the three Democrats gave the measure at 54. They needed 60 to even put it before a full vote. So it never got there. It will never get there. I said, my Lord and my God, what have we come to here? Christians, think biblically, please, not morality. Not think of issues that will help black people, issues that will help white people, issues that will help brown people. Thank God. We're no more Jew, Greek, bond, free, black, white, all that. All are one in Christ Jesus. We have now one master. Look to him. Let him guide us. Not your ethnicity or your culture. If I vote him, you're going to help me out. It's going to help these people. It's going to help these people. Yeah, but at the same time, would it blaspheme God? Would it rob him of his glory? If I, a child of God, forget this huge sin over here so I can get a few dollars here in my pocket because the tax is going to be a little bit more right. I asked the question I was asked in 1 John, how dwelleth the love of God in you? You say you're a Christian. You say you're a follower. But your actions seem to speak differently. I challenge you to move your color, your ethnicity, and your culture into a secondary status in your mind. I challenge you in the name of Jesus. Yeah. And bring who God says you are to the fore. Yeah. You belong to him. And a slave, even his thinking, has even lost the right to just think anything you want to think. He or she wants to think. You don't belong to you. I don't belong to me. We don't belong to us. We are slaves of the Most High God. We belong to him. And we must think as he thinks. We must hate what he hates and love what he loves. And that's my prayer for you and me. Us. I don't want to casually look at some, well, that's kind of crazy, but you know, hey, you know, ain't got to do with me. You know, as long as you do your thing behind closed doors, they ain't got to do with me. That's not how God sees homosexuality, same-sex marriage, transgender, fornication, adultery. Those two don't even get on our radar. We just completely ignore those. So also had another affair. Oh, okay. Hey, how the Tigers doing? Wow, really? He loathes. He hates that. You remember there was capital punishment for adultery. You were to be stoned to death. If children were disobedient, they were stoned to death. We really need to go back to that. Oh boy, that wouldn't sell, would it? Don't care. That's how my father was. That's why you got crazy parents, crazy children now. Amen. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience is the spirit of Satan. Amen. We've gone soft in America as Christians. Amen. We're soft. But I thank God the climate is tightening against Christians. I thank God. I'm very glad about that. Because folks will not be so quick to call themselves Christians because the screws are tightening. Second Lady Pence, Vice President's wife, you know the story, just said, I'm going to go back and do a little part-time at the Christian school I used to work at for 10 years. Just want to do a little something like that. And the media went crazy.
parents working at a school that is against LGBTQ because they putting everything in that thing. We've been against that. We Christians. 2,000 years. We've been against that. Nothing new. The Bible spoke about that all the time. They vilified her. Oh, yeah, it's going to be real uncomfortable to call yourself a Christian. And I'm glad. Because then you're going to see folks scurry away that really wasn't real. And the ones that's real going to stand right in the middle of them and say, yes, sir, I am a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. Now, you deal with that. Instead of saying, man, I'm LGBT. You deal with that. So, no, I'm a follower of Christ, brother. You got to deal with that. I will not relent. I will not back down. Because once my God said that it is a sin, it is a sin. I don't know if you realize it or not. You know, the Bible really doesn't speak very much about culture and ethnicity and color. Very, very little on that. What he major in is your status as a child of God or a sinner. In the Word of God, there's really two groups, saints and sinners, sheep and goats, the saved and the unsaved, the godly and the ungodly. You know all them colors. That's something that Satan, the god of this world, has sown into the worldview. And that has crept first, walked, and then stomped up into our minds and just sat down. We are first our color or our culture or our ethnicity before we're a child of God. That's come from the God of this world. But the Word of God speaks of us as spiritual beings first and foremost. Child of God is a spiritual term. Born again is a spiritual term. We're spirit beings first and foremost before we are natural beings. That's why he said there's no more Jew or Greek, bond or free, male or female. All are one in Christ Jesus. That's why. Because spiritually speaking, there is no gender. There is no culture, ethnicity, or color in Christ Jesus. And I've told you many, many times that until the church, black and white in particular, black Christian and white Christian, until they can move on, not move on, not until they can square, look in the face of racism and racist attitudes and prejudicial attitudes on both sides, until we look into that, because that's kind of still a hidden thing throughout America, until that is truly poked with the needle, excuse me, and let the pus out, that smelly pus in there, it'll continue to fester over. We just go about our daily life. Our daily life. Not dealing with the real. We all need to deal with that one. It's been ingrained in us in years past. Cousins, uncles, aunties, society, the culture you're around has just slowly put things in our mind on both sides against one another. And until we truly deal with that, church won't be what it really can be. But God speaks very little about ethnicity and culture. We need to change the conversation. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. I'm going to read from the New American Standard and then reread it from the Amplified. Verse 14, for the love of God controls us. King James has constrains us, which means to control us. Having concluded this,
that one died for all, therefore all died, symbolically in the one who died, which was Jesus, 15. And he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves. Hallelujah. But for him who died and rose again on their behalf. We're to live for him. Here, verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Are you reading that? That's all we recognize, people. It's only to the flesh. You're black, you're white, you're red, you're brown, you're rich, you're poor, you're tall, you're short. You're pretty, you're ugly. Which is I don't know where all that comes from, because that everything God does is good and very good. But we'll form whole opinions of a person. You're slim and you have a lot of weight. We'll form an opinion, and that opinion all of a sudden gets cemented in a heartbeat, and you're already treating that person based on just your external view of that person.
Yes.
We got problems.
Amen.
In the church word of life.
Amen.
There's problems in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ from stem to stern, from border to border.
Yes.
Because we only look at folks according to the flesh. And not only do we look at them according to the flesh, we evaluate and judge and conclude, come to a conclusion about them, and we ain't said nothing to them but nothing. They ain't even said hi. You just saw him. He's short, don't look the greatest, he'll never make it in life. She black, she a woman. Remember the last line in Color Purple?
Yeah.
When she was finally getting away from that old crazy husband. And as she was riding away, he said, where you gonna go? You're black, you're ugly, and you're poor. Oh, that's what we do. We just summarize a person, just sum it up. And with gavel dropping surgery, treat them that way. You're black, ugly, and poor, and a woman. Well, you'll never make it in life. You're from this part of time. You're from this side of the tracks. So that's your socioeconomic standing. And we as Christians fall into that same nonsense. When he said in his word, not many mighty, not many noble are called.
Amen.
That's why I don't say, why any pastor think they all that? Because he said, not many mighty and not many noble, not many wise. We weren't the wisest, we were certainly weren't the noblest, and we ain't the wisest. Not the brightest crayon in the box. Sharp, we're not the brightest, the sharpest knife in the drawer. But we need to really stay humble, because he said, I ain't calling the bright and the, you know. I'm calling the regular guy, the regular folks, the folks that can't believe would be a pastor. Because then I'll get the glory, said, so that no one can glory in my presence.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to call the uncallable, the one that you wouldn't have picked. Do y'all realize that us would have never, ever, ever picked Jesus' 12 disciples? No way! Matthew, you are a traitor to us because you are collecting taxes for the Roman government that we despise. They would have never called Matthew. Peter, you stink because you're a fisherman. You come in smelling all day long. I ain't trying to be around you. And you talk too much. I ain't gonna ever call Peter. And to be truth be told, they never would have called me the pastor. They called my brother, but not me. Y'all know the story. Mother telling her neighbor, you know, church has been started and Greg is the pastor. She said, you mean Paul, don't you? No, I mean Greg. No, you mean Paul. Now they're going to tell my mother about her own children. No, you mean Paul, because not Greg. Me, I know my own children. Get to tell the neighbor, I know my own children. That's something you got to tell your neighbor, I know my own children. Because they just couldn't believe it. But that's a praise to God, because
yeah.
I'm the unlikely choice.
Yeah.
So that God gets what?
Oh. Somebody ought to lift a hand or two. Thank you, Jesus. Because he's worthy. He gets the glory. I'm glad I was the unlikely choice. Because everybody in my family was honor roll, National Honor Society, except for me. Could have been. This was a knucklehead. Everybody went to their graduation with honors, except for me. I didn't go to my graduation. I didn't even go to my graduation. Everybody was at my graduation but me. My mother was there. Family was there. I'm at home. He called the odd, the weird. That's because then he gets the glory. Do we? Are we getting a picture here?
Yes.
It's about him. It's not about you.
Amen.
Father God, help us to no longer know anyone after the flesh. In Jesus' name. Please help us to get that. Let's keep reading verse 16 again. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. That's no one. That's saint or sinner. No one. We're reading it, Mr. Fellows, but I don't think we catch it. That's a profound statement to get to that point.
Yes.
That to recognize no one according to the flesh. Saint, sinner, male, female, red, brown, yellow, black, or white, rich or poor, tall or short, fat, skinny, pretty, ugly. No one after the flesh. You know what that does? It allows you to allow the love of God to flow equally to all people. Amen. And that's what God wants.
Yes, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. That's what he wants. I ain't talking to him because he... All Arabs are not terrorists. All black folk don't steal white folks' purses. All white folk don't hate black people. Every Asian ain't smart. Let's tackle these stereotypes. Lord have mercy. We have just developed fortresses in our mind,
yes,
according to the flesh.
Amen.
I'm talking about Christians.
Yes.
Fortresses.
Amen.
Father God, forgive us. We have sinned when we do it. Help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Read it again, verse 16, 8 verse. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. He said, we even recognize Jesus Christ according to the flesh. That's why you don't try to picture Jesus' humanity as he walked the earth. And try to make that help you to feel sorry for him and put you in a certain... That's not it. You know him according to his spiritual, the Son of God. You recognize that none of the four Gospels go into any detail about his crucifixion? Because that's not the point. The point is that he died and shed his blood. That's the point. Recognizing what a crucifixion does to the body is not the point. The focus needs to be on what his death did for us, spiritually speaking. And glory, hallelujah, it cleansed us from all sin.
Hallelujah.
That's the focus.
Thank you.
That's the focus. But when we didn't know, we were looking at him according to the flesh. Yeah, you feel sorry for him. He got beaten with the cat of nine tails. Yes, it was glass sharpened to a razor's edge, tied to the end of some of those cords, and it would rip into the flesh, and it was hooks on him at the end. All of a sudden, would actually rip out chunks of flesh, exposing organs underneath. It was a terrible beating. We can talk about all of that. But Isaiah just says he was bruised for our iniquity. See, looking at the chastisement needful to obtain our peace was upon him. And by his stripes and bruises, we are healed. It talks about the spiritual aspect of those things. He said, we knew Christ after the flesh too, but no longer. I want to read verse 16 again. Just now, take your time. Verse 16 again in the Amplified. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards of value. That's very excellent spoken by the Amplified. They amplified that. From a purely human point of view, we no longer regard or estimate anyone in terms of natural standards of value. I'm reading, continuing in the Amplified, verse 16. No, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint and as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. Because the more we got to know him spiritually, the less his flesh becomes important to us. Because I know him as the Son of God. I know him as the Savior of the world. I know him as my Redeemer. He removed all of my sin. He's my Deliverer. He delivered me from a dire situation, which is going to hell, which I could not extricate myself from. That's what deliver means. It means to save you from a situation that you can't get yourself out of. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Woo. Glory. Oh, that's some good news. And so we're to know no one any longer after the flesh. A couple more and we'll close. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, for where in Christ Jesus, is that not a spiritual setup? Yes, a start thinking spiritually. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. Who you are spiritually, Jew, Gentile, black or white, rich or poor, means nothing but faith working through love in Christ Jesus. Which is the way we need to think. In Christ Jesus, there's no more Jew or Greek. There's no more circumcision or uncircumcision. There's no more social economic. In Christ Jesus. Father, help us to get that. Help us to get that. In Jesus' name. One more, and we'll close. One more. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 9. Colossians, the third chapter, verse 9. Colossians 3:9, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. We can stop there and preach on the sermon. Folks still lying to one another. Wow, that got real quiet then. Verse 10. And have put on the new self, who is being renewed, key phrase, to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Verse 11. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew,
circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all. There is no distinction.